In Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 4 through 11. Of course, I'll be making reference to the whole passage here, verses 1 through 20. But just for sake of time, we're not going to read the whole passage here. But I do want us to read together this morning. We'll be reading from verses 4 down to 11. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen. But I do want us to read this corporately together. And so if you found your place there in Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verses 4 down to 11. So let's read that together this morning. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning, Lord, just as we think, getting closer and closer to the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you'd work in our hearts this morning, just as we look to you and to your word. Lord, I thank you for the good singing this morning, just lifting up the name of Jesus, and Lord, just glorifying you. And we thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Savior. And Father, I pray that you just work now, Lord, through this service this morning, Lord, through hearts. I pray you'd help us to draw closer to you. Lord, just to have a greater desire to serve you. Lord, to have a greater love for what you've done for us as we look this morning at your word. And so just bless now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2 is not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture, I would say, around this time of year. In fact, I'm sure there are some of you that could probably, you could probably quote the whole verses 1 through 20, right? It's something that is read often through the Christmas season, and so it's very familiar. But as we read here this morning, I want us to think about just a thought this morning of God's wondrous plan. God's wondrous plan. You know, sometimes even as a pastor, you know, I've been pastoring for First Baptist Church. I've been pastoring for 12 years now, and you think every year there are certain events that come into the year that you basically preach on the same topic, right? Easter, right? We're going to preach on the resurrection, and then of course Christmas about the birth of Jesus. Sometimes though, you can just do it so often, you just think that. What else is there, right? I mean, we've talked about the resurrection so many times. What else can we talk about with the resurrection? We've talked about Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ so often. What is there, you know? Their messages have been preached about Christmas and his birth and the resurrection. And so sometimes we can kind of get into a kind of a routine where we read something and we just don't really think about it a whole lot because it's so familiar to us. And I think Luke chapter 2 is kind of one of those passages, right? Even, you know, if you're going through maybe a Bible reading program or something like that, you come to it maybe not around Christmas time, and you read through Luke chapter 2, and it's just kind of a rush reading because, I mean, we know it, right? We know about being born in Bethlehem, and we know about the shepherds, and we know about the angels, and you can continue reading in Luke chapter 2 and where they go into the temple. I mean, we know those things, and so we kind of rush through them without really taking a lot of thought. But this morning, I would like us to, again, look at a very familiar passage, but I want us to think about God's wondrous plan through this passage, right? Do you know that God has a plan for each one of us? You know that every single person that is alive on this earth today, God has a plan for them. Every single person that's going to be born, God has a plan for their life. Now, that doesn't mean that every person fulfills that plan, but God has a plan for every person. And we see that plan even through this passage of Scripture. Notice, first of all, he says in verse number 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Why Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? I mean, of course, we could say, well, you know, because there was a tax that went out in Caesar Augustus. You know, he's doing this this census, and so everybody's got to go back to their home country and everything, and so that's why. Well, that was what took Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem. But why Bethlehem itself? Why does it, when it talks about here, it says they went unto a city which is called Bethlehem. Why is God focusing our attention on this city called Bethlehem? This little village of Bethlehem played a very significant role in the history of Israel. In fact, the first time we see Bethlehem is actually all the way back in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, when Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, dies, they bury her near the town of Bethlehem. A little later in time, we see two women traveling back to this little village of Bethlehem. Two women by the name of Naomi and Ruth travel back to this place called Bethlehem, where Ruth will meet a man by the name of Boaz. And of course, as all good love stories go, they fall in love, they have a child, and then they have a grandchild, and then they have a great-grandson who would become a pretty famous guy. In fact, his name was David. Of course, Bethlehem was the city of David. David was a shepherd and was taken from keeping the sheep of Bethlehem to becoming the king of Israel. But not just any king of Israel. He was the greatest king that Israel had. And God promised that through David as a king, through his lineage, would come the Savior of the world. When you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, you can read about how God promises through David's line that there would be a king forever, and that through David's lineage that this one that would rule for eternity would come, of course, referring to the Savior. Jeremiah 23:5 and Isaiah 9:7 all refer to this Savior, this Messiah, coming through the line of David. And of course, this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Because Micah 5:2 tells us, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. This Messiah that would be born would not just be a normal child that would be born, but would be from everlasting. This child would be the Son of God. You see, God had a wondrous plan for a little town called Bethlehem. Thousands of years before came on the scene, and we would not think much about it, but because of God's plan and God's working, God used this little town of Bethlehem all throughout the centuries, not only to establish where David would be born and where he would live, but even that through that one day, the Messiah, the Savior, would come. God had a wondrous plan for this little village. But notice, he also goes on, and he says in verse number 8 in Luke, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, we could see, well, Bethlehem, we understand Bethlehem, why God chose Bethlehem, because that was where David was from, and that was what prophecy was about. And so we understand maybe why God had them go back to Bethlehem, and this is where the Messiah was going to be born. But why shepherds? I mean, shepherds. Why wasn't the first announcement made to the priests? Why wasn't the first announcement of the birth of this baby, the Messiah, why wasn't it made to the king? Why wasn't the birth of this child, why wasn't this announcement made to the scribes and the religious leaders? I mean, wasn't it the scribes and the religious leaders who ended up telling where the Messiah was to be born when the wise men came and inquired about his birth? Back in Matthew, when the wise men came and they inquire of Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And Herod says, hey, I'm not really sure. And he brings the scribes and the wise men, and the religious leaders, and he said, hey, where is he that is going to be born? And it's interesting, they were the ones that actually quoted Micah 5:2. They said, well, it's supposed to be in Bethlehem. That's where he's supposed to be born. He's supposed to be in Bethlehem. So why didn't the angels make this proclamation to the king or to the religious people? Why didn't he make it to the scribes or the priests? They were to be the spiritual leaders of the day. Why weren't they the ones, weren't they the ones who daily offered sacrifices in the temple? They were the ones that were offering the sacrifices that were the pictures of the lamb, as John says in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8, that was slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, surely if anybody would recognize it, it would be the religious leaders, the priests, because they would go every day and offer sacrifices. And those sacrifices were a picture of the one that was going to come. But the announcement wasn't made to the king. The announcement wasn't made to the high priest. It wasn't made to the priests. It wasn't made to the scribes or the Levites or the religious leaders of the day. It was made to shepherds. Why shepherds? We know that Abraham was a shepherd. In fact, he had so many flocks and herds and things that he had to part ways with Lot because he had so many herds. Moses was a shepherd. Remember, it was Moses, as he was a shepherd on the backside of the mountain there, that's when he saw the burning bush. Moses was a shepherd. Of course, David was a shepherd as well. But I think we can safely say these shepherds weren't like Abraham. These shepherds weren't like Moses. They weren't like David. You see, the job of a shepherd was not a desired job. Being out with the sheep at night and watching over them and protecting them and taking them out to pasture and all the, that was not a desired job, right? There was nobody just signing up and saying, boy, I can't wait till I grow up so that I can be a shepherd. That just wasn't happening. The shepherds, many of them were considered the lowest of the low. Their reputation was not very good. Religious people snubbed them, ignored them. They were looked down upon by many in that day. And let's face it. Think about it. The shepherds. No doubt, out all night with the sheep, I'm sure they probably picked up a little bit of a smell. I'm sure their demeanor wasn't the best. I'm sure they didn't dress the best. I'm sure they didn't talk with the right words and things. Do you think that anyone would believe a shepherd if the shepherd was to come and tell you that the Messiah that they had been waiting for centuries had been born that night and was in a manger in Bethlehem? I mean, be honest. You think anybody's going to believe the shepherds? I mean, you put yourself, you're at Bethlehem, right? You're at home. It's in the middle of the night. right? And all of a sudden, somebody's knocking on your door. And you open up the door, and it's one of the shepherds. Hey, we just want to tell you the Savior's been born. He's been born in Bethlehem. You ought to come and see him. And it's a shepherd. You're going to believe the shepherd? You're just going to be like, an angel told you this? You're telling me an angel came to you tonight and said that the Savior was born in Bethlehem? An angel told you tonight this? You're telling me an angel said this? Yeah, you've been with the sheep too long, buddy. I mean, they're not going to believe the shepherds. So then why would God send the first announcement of the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds when most likely no one would believe them? You know why? Because God had a wondrous plan for the shepherds. Just as God had a wondrous plan for Bethlehem, God had a wondrous plan for these shepherds. Because when we think about the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ, and we understand that the Bible says back in Matthew about how they would name him Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. Imagine, we would think, well, maybe Jesus would come for the rich. Maybe Jesus would come for the wealthy and the educated and the upper class. Jesus, the Messiah, would come for those people. But I love how God doesn't send the announcement to any of those people. God sends the announcement to the shepherds. The lowest of the low, because God says, hey, I want you to know you're included in this plan as well. There's no one, it doesn't matter if you're the least to the greatest, there's no one that's not included in this plan that God has. God has a wondrous plan for every single person, even the shepherds. But I want you to notice the third thing here. Why the baby? Why the baby? It would have been easy for Jesus to come from the clouds and riding a horse or something and coming with great power and authority. But instead, he chooses to come as a baby. Not born in a palace, not born in a castle, not born in luxury, but born to a virgin girl. Born in a little town of Bethlehem. What was so special about this baby? Notice what he says in verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So here we find the birth of Jesus Christ. He's been delivered, and Mary takes him and wraps him in these swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Everybody has returned back to their hometowns, and so the town is full. There's not really any place for them to stay, and so they find this little place, and Jesus is born. But I want you to notice what the angel says about this baby. Look in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice the angel says good tidings. You know what the word good tidings means? It means good news. He says, I'm bringing you good news. There's never been any type of good news like this before, right? I mean, I'm sure you all like good news. You know, if you got that promotion, you're like, man, that was really good news. If you got a raise, that's good news, you know. I mean, we have got all kinds of things that we would say, man, that was really good news. But can I tell you something? The angel says, there's no good news like this good news. That you have never had good news like this before. I mean, this is really, really good news that I'm about to tell you. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And watch what he says. Which shall be to all people. You see, this good news, again, is not just for a certain group of people. It's not just for a certain class of people. It's not for a certain race of people. It's not for a certain group that speaks a specific language. He says this is for all people. Again, I'm just telling you what it says. Which shall be to all people. The message delivered to the shepherd shows the validity of this statement about it being good news, because it wasn't just for the rich. It wasn't just for the religious or the educated. Even the lowliest of men, the shepherds themselves, found this to be good news. You know, it's really interesting. In human concepts, we think in reverse, right? We would think if this Jesus, the Savior, is going to be born, he should be born in a beautiful palace or with the best doctors, and really the best people should be there. And we would think the best doctors and, of course, the high priest and the religious people and the king and all these other people, they should be there. But God does things a little bit different than we do. God says, no, none of those people are going to be there. In fact, there's not going to be anybody there at his birth other than Mary and Joseph. And then shortly after he's born, I'm going to tell the shepherds. The shepherds are going to find out about his birth before anybody else. Think about that. Before anybody else, the shepherds found out about his birth. The lowliest of men found out about the birth of Jesus Christ before anybody else did. I love God's plan. God's plan is amazing. The lowliest of men found out first before anybody else. Why? Because this baby is for all people. He's for all people. He's not just for a special group. No, he's for all people. And this is what he says. For unto you, again, he's talking to the shepherds. And we understand he's talking in general as well, but he's speaking directly to the shepherds. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He says, a Savior is born. This Savior, the one that they had been looking forward to, that the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah that Israel had been waiting for, anticipating all throughout all these centuries, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when God had promised that he would send a deliverer who would crush the serpent's head. And then through Abraham, he says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and through your nation, all people will be blessed. Why? Because God was promising that the deliverer would come through Abraham. And then as we come to David, and God uses David to become a great king, but God says to David, hey, through your lineage, this great king is going to come. Through your lineage, the Messiah is going to come. He's going to be the deliverer. And so they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for thousands of years waiting. And then he has come. And the announcement is made to the shepherds that a Savior is born. What was the purpose of the Savior? Well, think about what he says here. Notice it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I think the first angel gives us the main point. I'm seeing this through the preacher's eyes, right? The first angel gives us the main point. The other angels come and give us the subpoints. The first angel said, a Savior is born. The other angels come and say, we're gonna kind of break that down and help you understand what that means. What does it mean? Watch what he says, to bring peace. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. You understand that this baby was born to bring peace on earth, to bring peace. Now, understand, this peace is not a peace between men. We have this idea, well, if Jesus came to bring peace, and why is there still wars, and why is there still countries fighting, and why are there still people killing each other? Well, because this peace was not a peace between men, although, may I say, that can happen when you know Jesus as your Savior. When you know Jesus as your Savior, there can be peace between men. But that wasn't the peace that they were talking about. What is this peace on earth that he's referring to? It's not a peace between men, but it is a peace between men and God. This peace that he offers, that this baby is going to bring, is a peace between men and God. Because of our sin, we are separated and are the enemies of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. He says, because of our wickedness, because of our sin, we were the enemies of God. We are separated from God. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and eat of that fruit in the garden, they chose to go their own way. They chose to disobey and disregard what God had to say. And what has happened now? Every person that has been born is born as a sinner. We have that sin nature. We choose to disregard what God says. We choose to go our own way, as Isaiah says. Every sheep, all sheep, we just go our own way. It's interesting how God uses and God comes to the shepherds to give this announcement, because when you think about all throughout Scripture, even David in Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Why do I need a shepherd? Because I have a tendency to go my own way. Why do you need a shepherd? Because you have a tendency to go your own way. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And throughout Scripture, we see that example of Jesus Christ being the great shepherd. Why? Because we chose to disobey. We chose to ignore God. We chose to sin. God says, because of our sin, we are separated from God. Every person is separated from God. And so what does God do? God understands and God knows that there's nothing that you and I can do, friend, to have peace with God. Look, I'm thankful that you're here on a Sunday morning and we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, but you can celebrate Christmas every year and not have peace with God. You can come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday of the year and not have peace with God. You can have a Bible and not have peace with God. You can sing the Christmas songs that talk about the birth of Jesus Christ and "Hark the Herald Angel Sings" and "Joy to the World." And you can sing all these songs and still not have peace with God. Because there's nothing that you and I can do to have peace with God. This is what the angel is saying. The Savior was born to bring peace on earth. It is only through this child, it is only through this baby that is born, as this baby would grow and become a man, and one day he would go to an old rugged cross and he would stretch his arms upon that cross in love for a world lost and dying without him and shed his blood for our sin. It is only through that one person that we can have peace with God. That's why he says in Romans chapter 8, and verse number 1, I believe it is, "Therefore we are being justified by faith, we have peace with God." You see, there's only one way that we can have peace with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And that's why this angel is saying, hey, let me tell you something. The good news is, yes, it's good news, and it's for all people, and a Savior is born. But here's why the Savior was born: to bring peace in your life. Friend, I don't know why you're here today. I hope you're here because you wanted to worship the Lord. But I don't know what's going on in your life. But maybe you're here today and you say, there is no peace in my heart. There's no peace in my life. Maybe, friend, it's because you don't know that baby that was born 2,000 years ago. It's because you don't know that one, that Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Why? To save us from our sin. Maybe you don't know him. And that's why you don't have peace. Maybe you wake up every day wondering, what's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when the end comes? I mean, we think about all that's going on in our society, and people say, oh, the end is coming, the end is coming. Man, there's just no peace. Can I tell you, friend, when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have peace. Not only with peace with God, but you can have peace with what's going on in this world, too. Because you know who's in control. It's not the government, it's not the politicians, it's not the people behind closed doors doing all these backdoor dealings and things like that. They're not in control, friend. God's in control. He's never lost control. He knows exactly what's happening. And just like there was a wondrous plan for that little town of Bethlehem, there was a wondrous plan for those shepherds that God was going to use, can I tell you, there was a wondrous plan for that little baby. That little baby was born to save you and me from our sins. He can bring peace to your life that nothing else can. The greatest job that you want cannot bring peace to your life. The greatest thing you want to accomplish in life can never bring peace. There's only one way you can have peace in this life, and that is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what He says. He is born to bring peace. He says, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace," and then notice this, "goodwill toward men." Friend, do you understand the reason that God has done this is not because of how good you are. The reason that God has done this, the reason that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in that manger, to die and to bleed on a rugged cross. The reason that God has done this is because of the goodwill that He has toward you and me. His goodwill. It's not anything we have done. We cannot earn God's favor. There's nothing that you can do to be able to earn the favor of God. You cannot do anything to earn salvation. You can't do anything to earn the peace of God. No. The reason why God sent His Son, the reason why we have this passage here about this baby being born in this little city of Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph is there and the shepherds and all of this transpiring is because of goodwill toward men. God's will is good toward us. Look, He knows we are the ones who walked away from Him. He knows we are the ones who disobeyed Him. He knows we are the ones who rejected Him, and yet still He offers this incredible gift to everyone. To everyone. That's what He says. It is for all men. He offers this gift. It's your choice. Your choice alone. No doubt, around Christmas time, you've probably either given a gift or maybe you've received a gift. What would happen if you were to buy a gift for someone that you love dearly? You buy that gift for them. You spent time thinking about it. You didn't just Google what's the best gift to give to somebody. You actually took time, thought about that person, invested, spent money. You bought that gift. You get that wrapping paper. You wrap it up nicely. You put their name on it. This is for so-and-so. It's from me. You set it there on the table. You see him come into the room. You see him look at the present. You're like, is that for me? Yeah, it's for you. You didn't have to do that. Okay, I'll take it back. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't have to do that? No, I did it because I just love you so much. I did that for you. Aw, that's so nice. Thank you. And they turn around and they walk away. They don't open it. They don't even touch it. Can I ask how you'd feel? Would you feel a little hurt, maybe? Would you feel maybe a little betrayed? Would you feel and wonder, wait, what? Why didn't they take it? This was for them. I did it because I love them. I spent time thinking about it, what they would really like, what they would really want, and I took the time and I invested in it, and I bought it, and I wrapped it, and I made it beautiful, and I put their name on it. They know it's for them, and I set it right there, and they see it's for them, and they know it's for them, and they willingly choose to walk away from it. How would that make you feel? And I tell you, friend, can you imagine how God feels when He invested in the greatest gift that He could ever invest for you and for me? And He sent that gift down to this earth to be born in a little manger, to die on a rugged cross. And He put your name on that gift and says, it's for you. It's for all people. Your name is on that gift. You can have that peace with God. Why? Because God loves you. It's His goodwill towards you that He was willing to do this. And your name is on that gift. And maybe this is the first time you've heard this. Maybe you've heard it before and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you've seen that gift. You understand that that gift is for you, and that gift that can of eternal life can only be accepted through Jesus Christ. And you've seen it and you've rejected and you've rejected and you've rejected. Can I tell you, friend, think about what God feels every time you reject that gift, knowing it's there for you. Friend, maybe you've never heard that gift is for you. Can I tell you, His desire is that God wants to give you peace. Peace with Him. So that you can know the very moment that you take your last breath that you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can have peace with God. You don't ever have to worry about when you die because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are taken away because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because of how good you are, but because of what he did. And to know that you can have that gift of eternal life. Is that gift truly for everyone? That's what he says. Which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, God had a wondrous plan for this baby, and that plan for that baby is to take your sin and my sin upon himself on a rugged cross so that we could have peace with God. Why would he do that? Because of his goodwill toward men. Friend, you understand? Just as God had a wondrous plan for that little town of Bethlehem, as God had a wondrous plan for those shepherds, and God had a wondrous plan for that baby. Can I tell you, friend, God has a wondrous plan for you. But here's the thing. God will never force you to receive that gift. God will never force you to accept that gift. God did not force those shepherds to go and tell. They've just voluntarily went and told. God's not going to force you to receive the gift. You can celebrate Christmas year after year after year, and you can know about the birth of Jesus Christ, and you can know what Jesus Christ has done, and every time that you look at a present with your name on it, you might think about what Jesus has done for you, and that God has a gift for you, and your name is on that gift, and that gift is Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And every year, you might think about that gift, and you might think of it, but you might walk away, but friend, can I tell you something? There's going to be a day that's coming when you won't be able to walk away anymore. Because when your last breath is taken, there's not another chance to take that gift. You can't walk away anymore. You can't reject it anymore because your life is over. Friend, can I tell you something? When it's over, there's no going back and doing it again. You have one opportunity in this life, and only in this life. You say, well, when I get to heaven, God's going to look at all the good things that I've done. He's going to look at all the bad things that I've done. And hopefully the good is more than the bad. Friend, it's too late then. It's too late. Because it's only in this life that you have an opportunity to receive that gift. And I don't know your personal life. I don't know your spiritual walk or anything like that. But I'm telling you, friend, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're watching via live stream, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never accepted that gift of God. Can I tell you, God has a wondrous plan for your life, and it begins the day you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That could be today. We look at Bethlehem, we think, nothing very special about Bethlehem. Maybe not, but God had an amazing plan for it all throughout the centuries. We look at the shepherds, we think, man, they're just the lowliest of the lowly. They're just shepherds. Nobody really cares about the shepherds. God had a plan for them. Many people have heard the story about that baby. The shepherds went and they told everybody about the baby. But you know what's interesting? The Bible doesn't record anybody coming. Nobody came. Nobody accepted. Nobody listened. You have a choice to make, friend. You can either choose to listen to what God says. You can listen and understand that there is a gift that God has for you, and if you're willing to accept it by faith, you can have that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. Or you can be like many of those that night when the shepherds told, no, I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to get out in the cold. I'm not going to leave my home. I'm not going to go and see this baby. There's no way that the shepherds saw an angel. There's no way that God would reveal this to the shepherds. No, 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 no. You have a choice. But can I tell you something, friend? This is what it says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ was born in that little town for you. The Savior, which is born. And the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Savior was born to bring peace because of the goodwill of God. You have a choice. You can either receive that gift or you can reject it. Can I tell you something? If you'll accept that gift, you say, well, I'm just a nobody. I'm like those shepherds. Aren't you glad God had a wondrous plan for the shepherds? I don't live in a big city. I just live in Eaton, Ohio. Aren't you glad God had a wondrous plan for Bethlehem? And it all came through that little baby. I wonder, with their heads bowed and her eyes closed, no one looking about tonight or this morning, friend, God has a wondrous plan for you if you'll choose to accept it. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest. I do not know if I died today where I would go. I'm being honest, I don't know. I don't know if I died where I would go. I don't know if I'm saved. I heard you talk about being saved. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know that I've ever received that gift that you're talking about. I don't have peace with God, but I would like to have peace with God. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know how I can be saved. I want to know how I can have peace with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about, you just slip your hand up. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. But if you just slip your hand up and put it right back down, we say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have peace with God. Thank you. Put your hand down. God bless you. Someone else, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure. But I'd like to know how I could receive that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Friend, can I ask you, if you know Christ as your Savior, you understand God has a wondrous plan for your life. But if we're not being obedient to what God has for us, it's going to be very hard for God to fulfill that plan for our life. Are you trusting God? Are you following God? Are you being obedient to what God wants you to do as a Christian? Because He does have a wondrous plan for your life, if you're willing to trust Him and to follow Him. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, thank You for Bethlehem. Thank You for the shepherds that You were willing to herald this message to, the lowliest of men. Because, Lord, this message of salvation is for everyone. Thank You for sending that little baby to be born in that manger, to live here upon this earth, to die upon a rugged cross for our sins. And God, I pray if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, they've never accepted that gift of eternal life, today would be that day. Father, for Christians, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to follow Your plan for our life. Lord, to draw closer to You, to think about the wondrous plan that You have. And we may not be able to see what the future holds. We may not be able to see all that You have in store for us. But Lord, as we faithfully follow You and we faithfully obey You, You'll reveal that plan to us and what You have for us. Father, would You help us in these things? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand quietly to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. Friend, maybe God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe here today you're not sure if you're saved. So, Pastor, I'd like to talk to somebody. We'd be happy to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. You're here as a Christian. You say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. And can I ask you, friend, are you being obedient to God? You following His plan for your life? Are you just trying to follow your own plans? Can I tell you, friend, His plans are always best if we're willing to trust Him and to follow Him. Amazing that God would reveal the first message of the birth of the Savior to some shepherds out in the field. I'd say I don't think there's anybody in here this morning who'd say would be less than a shepherd. If God wants to use the shepherds, friend, can I tell you God wants to use you? If you're willing to follow Him, willing to trust Him. Friend, if you're not sure if you're saved, please let us take the Word of God, show you how you can be saved. The most important decision you can ever make in your life is knowing Jesus Christ.